Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 57.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, hey everyone, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Lowe. And as always, thank you so much for being here. This is episode number 57. Wow, we are getting up there quickly. So in this episode, I'm going to go over some of my opinions and beliefs, I guess approach really is the best word, to left-hand voicings. And this was kind of sprouted in me when I was a young buck in college in New York at the New School University. In Manhattan, I was studying with a teacher who had studied with Lenny Tristano. And so he had kind of gone over some of these left-hand voicings that he had used, and I'll get into that more in a second. But this will be more my approach on left-hand voicings, how to really add to your repertoire of left-hand voicings, and what you should kind of think about when using them. This is going to be a two-part series because it's going to take... This first episode will be a little bit shorter just because I'm going to explain the approach. But then the second episode, we're going to start to use those voicings in tunes and how you should think about doing that, how to implement them with your right hand improv. It's going to be great. I think it's going to help you guys a lot. So for all the new listeners out there, thank you so much for attending. We are affiliated with jazzpianoschool.com. I am the founder and creator. And again, my goal along with my team is to provide the highest quality of jazz piano education to anyone who is interested and all the jazz piano enthusiasts out there that are looking to improve their skills with jazz piano. So if you're interested, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com, check out the website. You'll see all the podcasts there, the blog, and a lot of other great free information along with the paid course that we have as well. So let's get into this. So I'm going to give you guys a lot of left-hand voicings today. And I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm going to give you the approach, and there's just tons. I mean, I would probably say thousands, right? Thousands? Yeah, definitely. So in Jazz Piano School, in the course, right, in our membership, all the voicings are there, and there is just, like I said, thousands. And I literally spent time along with some people writing out these voicings in every key for every possible arrangement that you can think of, and I'll explain that in a second. But the free PDF is what I was going to get to you guys. This is going to be the basic summary of what I'm going to teach you today, because I don't want to overwhelm you, and just to throw all these voicings at you would be a complete waste of time because you wouldn't know where to start. It goes against my philosophy of step-by-step teaching, in which I progress you guys cumulatively, even though the podcast doesn't really do that anyway, because it's more of it's still a library situation. But the PDF will help. If you go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast50, what episode are we on? 57. jazzpianoschool.com/podcast57. You can get a lot of the voicings I'm going to kind of explain to you today. It won't be the whole collection, but you can get a lot of them and start working on them. And these will definitely up your left-hand voicing repertoire. Okay? So here it is. Here's my approach to advanced voicing, left-hand voicings. So you mainly, people learn voicings in a very just segmented, all over the place, random order way. And this just bothers me because people will ask, hey, Brendan, show me some voicings. Or you can go online and learn voicings, obviously. Like, you can learn a Herbie voicing or a McCoy voicing or, you know, whoever, right? You can go online and find voicings. And you can go online and find anything these days. But just to learn voicings, right, and put them in your repertoire doesn't teach you exactly what is going on, why it's going on. You don't develop a relationship with the voicing. You don't really learn how to use the voicing correctly in certain circumstances, you know. So it's really kind of just, you know, you're just thrown into this, like, you know, pit, I guess, and you have no idea what to do and how to use it. So, right, there's kind of a progression that you should take with voicings, you know, starting from the beginning. And actually, if you walk through all the voicings episode in the podcast, you'll kind of be on that path. In JPS, I bring everyone through a direct cumulative path of improving their voicing. So you're understanding how to use the voicings in jazz tunes, and it slowly expands upon itself. So that progression, more or less, is going to be triads, major and minor triads, right? Learning the inversions of triads, right? For this is very beginner stuff, right? But some people, right, as a beginner, will skip ahead of all out of all of this stuff. Learning how to voice lead your progressions, right? If I'm going to from here to a G major, right? My closest inversion is going to be this, right? So learning how to voice lead your triads. Then we start to go to seventh chords, right? We add one note to our chord. So instead of a three-note chord, we now have a four-note chord, okay? Then we go through the same process, right? And this is all in actually our training that we give, our free training, how to build a foundation and use that progression to improve your voicings. But once you've gone through the seventh chords and you learn your rootless voicings, right? Rootless voicing for a C major 7, your two structures, right? And for your dominant seventh chords and so on and so forth, you learn extensions, okay? But what I want to talk to you about today is most of the time, once you get to a certain point, so again, these episodes are much more advanced, and take all this stuff, you know, very, very slowly, because once you get to a certain point of rootless voicings, then it's like, what do? And extensions. So for example, if I have a C7 chord and I want to play a dominant rootless voicing, I can do this, right? Here's my first structure, here's my second structure. Now, how do we change this? This is more intermediate based. How do we change this? Well, we have extensions on here, but we learn these structures simply so we can have a format and a structure to learn voicings and practice them and learn some, you know, a foundation for voicings. So once you can do this, we can start to change these voicings simply by altering the extensions. Now, in this extension, in this voicing, we have 13 and 9. So if I were to change this at all, I can change my extensions to alter the chord. Now I have my shells in here, 3 and 7, okay? In all my left-hand voicings, you want to have your shells if you're playing a 7th chord, right? These are going to dictate the quality of the chord and help with the foundation of the chord. You don't necessarily need your 5th, okay? So here's my chord. I'm gonna flat my 13. Okay, so here's a new left-hand voicing I've just created. So that voicing I can use to now play a C7 chord. So if I were to solo, right, I can use that flat 13 in my solo because it's reflecting my left-hand voicing. So now, how exactly do you start to practice different left-hand voicings? Well, that's also a beast on its own, and there's progressions for that. I'm not going to go into that right now, but just like we altered one note in our rootless voicing, I would simply practice my new structure, which contains flat 13 in it and natural 9 on the top, through all my chords. So I'd take it through, and there's always, with JPS guys, there's always a structure and a foundation for practicing, and I usually use the circle of force, then go into different intervals, then whole steps, half steps, right? Going up and down by half steps, taking that voicing and then progressing through all these different manners. But after I've done that, then for sure you better know that I've learned that voicing. I can play that voicing whenever I want, right? 3, flat 13, 7, 9 for my C7 chord, right? Or any dominant chord that I want. So again, after we've kind of altered our extensions, we still get to a point where it's like, okay, I know these chords, but how do I start to really pick out colors? And I'd recommend going through the process that I just showed you first, okay, through different extensions, taking all the extensions that you know, right? We can play 3, sharp 11, flat 7, and 9, okay, for example, right? And then you take that through. But once you get to that point too, we want to build voicings. We can pick voicings practically based on anything within the chord, okay? So anything is possible. And if you think about your hand, I really want you to kind of picture this, right? My hand has five fingers. All right. So, and this is kind of how my epiphany happened with left-hand voicings and what I wanted to give back to everyone, because so many people are fixated on voicings. Oh, how can I get some new voicings? But I want to tell you something, and listen closely here, because this is very important. There is a limited number of voicings available on the piano. Okay? Now, you may be saying, okay, like, great, what's your point, Brendan? Well, if there's a limited amount of voicings on the piano, that means that we can learn all the possible left-hand voicings available. And it's usually at this point that I lose people, because they're like, well, what do you mean? Like, that's crazy. There must be thousands. And yes, there are thousands. But I have sat down and written them all out because I'm crazy like that and I'm dedicated to JPS. So, I mean, it took me about 3 to 4 years to build JPS, and one of the large portions of my time was writing out all the possible left-hand voicings that are available. Now, at this point, you're probably like, Brendan, you are a crazy SOB, right? And yes, I am. But I love this stuff. It was fun. And I do it in my spare time. So here's how you do it. Here's the system, okay? And we're going to start to use these in tunes. But if we take a major 7 chord, again, I have five fingers on my hand. Now, the only things you need, the only two notes you need in a voicing are 3 and 7, okay? Now, with that being said, I can create two voicings out of my 3rd and 7, because I only have two notes. I can create this voicing, and I can create this voicing. Now, hopefully you thought to use your shells as a voicing. When I'm soloing, I can just use my shells as a voicing. It's gonna be pretty thin, but it still works as a two-note voicing. Right? That's it. And sometimes, you know, if I have my bass note or I'm playing solo piano, that sounds very beautiful, right? Now, I got my two voicings here. If I add one note, that's gonna give me another set of inversions that I can practice for all my left-hand voicings. 3, I'm gonna add my 5, and 7, right? So now I have this, and I have this. And then when I get back to here, I've already played that version, so we don't need that. So we have 3, 5, 7, 5, 7, 3, and 7, 3, 5. So I have 3 inversions with that extra note. So, based on traditional extensions, right? Extensions, there's a grouping or traditional extensions that go with each chord. Ultimately, I like to tell people that you can use any note in a voicing over any chord you want. And that's my approach. If you like the sound of it, go for it. I never want to box anyone in. I just want to create structure for you guys to allow complete freedom in your playing. Okay, and thus the tagline of Jazz Piano School is learning freedom. So I create structure and a path in the beginning for you guys, which allows you to open the box to experience complete freedom. All right? So the way we're able to do that is by creating these voicings in. You know, again, if you want to use an E flat on a C major 7 chord, this can be a nice sound, right? Right, just doing this. And it sounds like a movie score. But traditionally, you know, the extension over a C major 7 chord is not going to be a sharp 9, right? Most of the time you'll learn that you have a natural 9 available, sharp 11, and a natural 13. So I built all the voicings that you'd use with these extensions over your over your chords. So traditional based extensions. And again, you can pick any note you want to add to your chord as long as you have a 3 and 7 available in there. I'm never saying you can't. Okay, I really want to emphasize that point. But if we start to add our traditional extensions in now, based off of our shells, Now, I would start, I'm gonna use all my three note voicings I possibly can by just adding one extension. And I can play my pinky now. I'm gonna put my pinky on the E. And so to add my sharp 11, which is the closest extension up from E, I'm gonna do this. So in this case, I don't necessarily have to use my pinky. That's when we're gonna get into all five fingers of our voicings. But here's a nice voicing with the sharp 11. All I did was add that one extension. Now from here, I can create an inversion here, or another last inversion here, right? So I have three voicings now with my C major 7 chord, sharp 11. Or I can use this voicing. Or again, my last voicing here. I really like this one. I like having the third on top with the sharp 11 here. You can create a really nice piece out of that. So I have my three voicings there, okay, that I can use. So this approach is really starting to expand how you think about voicings. A voicing doesn't always have to be rootless voicings in a structured manner, right? We can simply have three note voicings, we can have four note voicings, and we can have five note voicings, and we can have two note voicings, which are just our shells, right? But they can start anywhere. Now, as long as my shells are in there, I can create that voicing. So again, we're gonna use every inversion of that to create a voicing. Now, I'm simply gonna move this note up through my extensions to create more voicings. So we did this one already. That was actually the one I started with, okay? Now again, a less traditional extension will be your flat 13 in a major C major 7. But a more modern voicing will be that flat 13 too. So you can definitely use that as an extension in your C major 7 voicing. Then we do the same thing. We have our inversions of that voicing. Okay, then my next inversion, I'm just taking this note, guys, and moving it up the possible inversions until I'm gonna get to B, and then I'm gonna continue upward as far as I can before my hand can't reach any more notes. So this way, in this manner, I'm covering all the possible voicings that are available for my left hand. Think about it, okay? I'm actually covering every single possibility available to my hand starting on this position in E, right? So here's my natural 13, okay? And then again, here's my inversion, and then here's my last inversion. So that's my C major 7 with a natural 13. Now, obviously if I take this note and move it up one, I get to my 7th, but I can continue moving that one note through my extensions up. All right? So now I reach another chord tone, which simply works as well. We don't always need extensions. And when I was growing up, and I see a lot of my students say, oh, I always need to add an extension. You don't always need to add an extension. Just playing this, having the root on top, this is a beautiful voicing as well. All right, and again, we have our inversions of this. This is a very nice voicing here too. And then finally this. This is just root position without the five, right? So now I continue moving this up, and for all the people that want to go through all the notes, go for it. You can move this voicing up through all of these notes, every single possible note, and create a voicing out of it for your C major 7 chord. Because you have the shells in here, you can add any note you want and see if that's a voicing you like. This is flat 9 here. A little out. I like that sound, actually, you know, so I actually use that in my playing sometimes, you know, and people will be like, oh, you can't add a flat 9 over a C major. You can add any note you want. That's why it's jazz, right? But you start with a structure to do it, and that's what I'm trying to help you guys teach you here. So you listen to the sound, figure out if that's what you like, and you can, your ear can grow accustomed to anything. And, you know, at one point I thought Coltrane sounded awful, you know, when I was younger. The more you listen to it, the more you start to understand the sound, the relationship, the atmosphere it creates, and then it changes for you. Your relationship changes to the sound. So again, here's my flat nine, and obviously we have our inversions for this, right? I'm playing the bass note with the chord so you can hear more of the root with your voicing, right? And then finally we have this. Okay, then we move it up again, right? Now we have our natural nine. This is more of a traditional voicing. Then we go through our inversions here, right? Three inversions. So again, with a three note chord, we have three inversions. So through all the notes we just moved, right? We started with here, our first, there's three for this, right? Three, six, nine, 12. If you want to go through the other notes, you can. But again, I just went through our tradition, traditional extensions, right? I lost count. I think that's 15. Doubling the third, I included as a voicing, because this technically is a voicing, right? So, and then here, I'm starting to stretch a little bit because I have my sharp 11 on top now. This is a spread voicing. We no longer have this cluster voicing here. We have a spread voicing, which is a lot different than playing this cluster here, right? So by doing this, and again, we don't have three inversions for this. I can't reach, I can actually, but it's very difficult. That's the inversion there. I can't reach the other inversion here. So with our hand, I only say that I can reach this as one inversion, right? So your chords, you don't have as many inversions for this one. So now I'm getting up there with my reach. So now I'm at the fifth on top, right? This is a voicing. A nice, beautiful spread voicing. Now, if I were to just show you this, hey, you know, check out this voicing, you'd be like, oh, cool. But when you work it through this process, you kind of understand more the texture you're getting out of this. You started with clusters with the extension. You started moving that one note up, sticking with the shell format here, right? And then you finally got to here. Now I can reach my flat 13 up top here. It just takes a little bit of a roll for me, right? I can't reach it with my right hand, actually, just my left hand. That's a beautiful sound. Okay, listen to this. You can end tunes that way or start a tune off like that. It's beautiful. And we came to this texture just by through a systematic process though, right? So I finally hit my max potential reach. So those were our three note voicings. So we've done all the three note voicings, okay? Now we don't need to start with both shell formats because we've done all the inversions. So by doing and practicing all the inversions, we get the other set of shells, right? With the seventh on the bottom, okay? So now what I do is I add another note to this, right? So I'll add, now we have our four note voicings, okay? Excuse me. So I'm gonna add my five in here. Now I have a four note voicing, right? And I'll practice this in all its inversions. And this is where it starts to get funky, because guaranteed 99% of the listeners maybe on this podcast haven't thought about using some of these voicings here, right? But again, we're going through every single possible combination. And think about it. If you practiced every single one of these voicings in every key, think about the immense amount of potential your left hand would have to create colors, create textures, you know, just basically you'd have everything at your palate. Okay, and this is what I'm trying to open your mind. I'm trying to free your mind to voicings through colors and textures, okay? So now we've added the fifth. Now what I'm gonna do is keep one note stationary. I actually add my sharp 11 to the stationary notes. So this actually becomes part of the consistent voicing. Now I move my fifth up. So we take on the same exact process, and I move my fifth up accordingly. So now I move to my, you can go to your flat 13 if you want next. Excuse me, guys. Beautiful voicing there. I love that voicing. Move to your natural 13 next. Another beautiful voicing. Again, for all you guys who want to create experimental voicings, you can just move this up by half steps. Right? This flat 7 can actually become an extension. It can become a color note. Okay? Don't hold back. Try whatever you want. I get to this voicing. This is a very nice voicing, putting the root on top. Again, we can just keep going up by half steps. I like the flat 9 there. Natural 9, sharp 9, doubling the third. Again, if you want to go to the F here, it's going to sound pretty out. It's more of our Halloween voicing, right? Horror voicing here. Then we get to doubling of the sharp 11, and I'm reaching almost my potential for reach here on voicings. And remember, guys, for each of those, you have all your inversions. You have all the inversions you can create through each of those voicings as well. And then finally, I get to my fifth on top. Now here, I can reach that as well, barely. A lot of people can't reach this. I have big hands. I can barely reach that if I roll it. So this is the process we take. I think you get the picture now. And we'd simply keep adding notes. So here's my, I want to kind of show you five note voicings. Here's my four note voicings. Then I add one more note and keep two notes stationary. So I'd keep my sharp 11, 5 stationary, and add my flat 13. So now I have a five note voicing. Now I take this extension and continue to move that upward and play all the inversions for that. Right, this, we have this, this, right, and then we get to here, right, then here, then here. This is very difficult because of the 4 and 3 here, and then I don't think I can hit this. I think that's where I stopped. If I roll that, I can. Okay? But again, essentially, by using this system, by using a number system to mark all of these, we play every voicing possible. And when I say that to people, they're just like, what? No. I mean, yes. Like, so... people don't think about, right, how many. Now, eventually, I want to create a two-hand system where I write down all the voicings possible for two hands, right? So you any possible single combination of your five fingers, right, that you could possibly manage can be documented if you take the time, because you can spend time writing down every single possible voicing that your hand can play, that your fingers can play, because you only have so many fingers. You don't have an infinite amount of fingers, and there's only so many notes on the piano, right? So, but anyway, guys, so my point is, what I want to do is I'm going to give you some of the basic voicings, right? Obviously, you saw that got very, very advanced, okay, with your harmonies, your ear having to adjust to some sounds. I'm going to give you basic voicing for your major 7 chords, your minor 7 chords, and your dominant 7 chords that you probably haven't played before, okay? There are going to be some advanced structures, and you now know where they come from. So, you know, you don't always have to play 3, 5, 7, 9, right? We can play, as long as we have the shells in there, you know, you can play anything. You can play 5, 7, 9-3. This is a nice voicing. We can play this, right? We can play this. We can play this. We can play this. Play this. Play this, right? As long as you have those shells in there, you can play any combination you want, right? So I want you to practice, kind of open up your left hand. Once you start getting more advanced, people focus so much on their right hand. How can I improve my right hand improv? And I agree, as you're a beginner going to intermediate, going even to advanced player, you want to be able to express yourself freely through your right hand. But once you get to that point, becoming more of a pro or master, again, that we're talking about Keith Jarrett's, Brad Meldow's, these people are creating atmospheres and feelings and emotions. And you know, when you listen to them and you listen to how they're playing, their right hand's not playing very, I mean, okay, don't get me wrong, they do play very sophisticated things, but the simple things they play, when we try and play them, it's just like, well, I'm playing the same thing you are, but why does it sound so different? Because they're on a whole new level. And their left hand is actually playing a much greater role in their improv because of the colors they're using, the structures, the clusters, the spread voicings, the rhythmic abilities that are the conversation it's having with your right hand, right? To create a whole different atmosphere than, you know, even you and I. I mean, I'm nowhere near on the level of those guys, right? But I do understand, you know, I try and understand what it takes to get to that level, because once you reach a certain point, it's about discerning, well, when I play something, if I can play exactly what they play, why do they sound better? You know, you ask those questions. It's like, what element are they doing to move me when I go hear Brad or Keith Jarrett, right? You know, why are they great? And when you study the elements of great players, you know, obviously players have different styles, but it really does come down to certain points and, you know, things that all great players do. So I'm going to talk about using your left-hand voicings that we worked on today, kind of, and that you can practice or even just conceptualize as you go into the next episode on how to create different atmospheres in your playing. It doesn't always have to be, you know, the bebop style of what you're used to. You know, you could do that all day, and I could do that all day, but I'm going to really go into how to change the feeling that you're going to omit from your playing, how to bring the bass player and the drummer. This is more for group playing, obviously. Well, no, I guess solo piano too. How to change the feeling you want to express, really how to kind of tinker with really the small, minute, fine details by using our left-hand voicings. There's a lot of different strategies, but the one I'm going to be focusing on is the use of what we were working on today in your left-hand voicings and colorings, okay? So, I thoroughly expected this episode to be a lot quicker just because we were working on left-hand voicings, but I guess it wasn't. But, again, to get the left-hand voicings, guys, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast57. You can also text download 57 to the number 44222. You can receive them that way. And, yeah, that's it. Left-hand voicings. It's a big beast to tackle, but once you kind of get this concept under your belt for the more advanced players, intermediate to advanced, it's really going to start to completely change the way you think and approach your left hand in combination with whatever your right hand's doing, whether it's the melody, improv, or even solo piano. All right, hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Until next time, happy practicing.